Alright, we're going to start with counting. We're going to count to 15. Can you count with 15 with me? Start 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Now, why did I choose 15? Because in the United States, every 15 seconds, there's a victim of domestic violence or abuse.
Ouch.
So you guys are standing here in honor and recognizing that and talking about it. Because unfortunately, domestic violence is something that is not always talked about.
Journey Inside My Mind, 095. Against the backdrop of the beautiful Ohio River, a few hundred people rallied together on Sunday, September 9th, 2007, to help raise one voice for domestic violence awareness in the greater Cincinnati area.
You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
I'm Dan Johnson, and welcome to part two of a special series, the Journey Inside My Mind podcast, with coverage of the fourth annual One Voice Domestic Violence Community Awareness Walk. The Journey Inside My Mind is a mostly music podcast from Daniel Johnson Jr. and Jazz Mania Productions. Find complete show notes with links to artists and how you can add the show to your iTunes at jimmpodcast.com. Join the conversation. Send email to danieljohnsonjr@gmail.com. Call the listener feedback line at 206-666-JIMM. That's 206-666-5466. Intro music by Rory off the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com with Up and Go. And now, get ready. Here's Dan Johnson. Well, hello there, and welcome back to the Journey Inside My Mind podcast. I'm your host and tour guide, Daniel Johnson Jr., coming to you from southwestern Ohio in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I'm here with part two of our special series of the Journey Inside My Mind, where we're covering the fourth annual One Voice Domestic Violence Community Awareness Walk. Before I proceed, I want to let you know that I was interviewed this past Tuesday, October 9th, 2007, about the One Voice Walk and about this podcast and some other stuff over at the Posted Cast Live. It's over at TalkShoe.com. I'll put a link into the show notes list over at jimmpodcast.com, where you can download that show and listen to it, and you can find out more about just some of the convictions that I shared and some stuff about this podcast and what else is going on there. A quick reminder that I am definitely looking for your feedback about the things that you're hearing in this series. Please call 206-666-5466. That's 266-666-JIMM. And let's see, if you don't want to call, if you got a microphone attached to your computer, you can head over to jimmpodcast.com and find a little widget there that's Mobile Talk or MyChingo. Click on there and you can record leave a message for me there. Or you can record an MP3 if you have that ability to, and send that to me at danieljohnsonjr@gmail.com. And the reason for that is because I want to find out what this stuff is stirring. Hopefully this is stirring something inside of you. I know that for me and for many others that were there at the Domestic Violence Awareness Walk, and for people who are participating in projects similar to this all around the country and around the world, and of course we see these stories on the news, you know, this does and it should stir us. And so I want to hear what you have to say. So please call 206-666-JIMM. So let's see, this is part two. Part one, in part one, we talked a little bit about the background of the series and shared with you about, kind of some conversations that I had as I walked into the walk before things were setting up. I talked to Janet, and I talked to Mike, who was, and Megan. Mike and Megan each had their own displays for the organizations that they were representing. And then we heard again from Janet as during the what part of the welcome to the church service. And I say church service. Again, if you haven't listened to that episode, most of the people that came out were members of the Cincinnati Church of Christ, and a member of that church was killed, and her name was Cheryl Dawson. And you're going to hear a little bit more about Cheryl Dawson in this episode. You're going to hear, of course, you heard Claudia Harsh. She's the director of the One Voice Walk and director of Heart to Heart Cincinnati, and she shared the statistic that every 15 seconds in the United States of America, can you believe it? As I've been recording this, it's almost 6 minutes, so that's 6 times 4. That's 24 people. 24 people in the United States have been abused from some sort of domestic violence, and that is mind-boggling, and it rocks my world in a very harsh way, as it should, you know, because I mean this is something that we have the ability to stop. And so in this episode, you're going to hear, appreciate Claudia for organizing the walk, and of course for everybody who has shared so far, and also for the women and people that you're going to hear. You're going to hear Claudia share some background about Heart to Heart and an overview of the walk and how it got started and kind of what it is that we're doing here. And this was part of the program of the that was taking place there after the church service. And then she introduced some people who came up to share some personal thoughts and some personal stories. One of them is Mary, who, although not a victim of domestic violence or abuse herself, her friend was Cheryl Dawson. And you'll hear her share her story, you'll hear her share how she feels kind of being left behind and missing a friend. Feeling emotional myself as I talk about this. Then you're going to hear from Nichelle, shares about her own experience with domestic violence and abuse, that it's not always physical. There's manipulation, there's emotional abuse that goes on. And then you'll hear Michelle share her story and about how she's lucky that she's alive. After that, we're going to have a song from Beth Thornley off the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. So with that in mind, let's jump into these opening remarks by Claudia Harsh.
Our purpose today is twofold. One is just community awareness. Let's talk about it in our community. Let's talk about what domestic violence is, and let's talk about what we can do to step up and be different. The other purpose is fundraising. So I have spoken to you before, and your church is so receptive to me, and I'm so blessed, about Heart to Heart. It's a very small shoestring organization. And basically what we do with Heart to Heart is put sets of supplies together so that women, when they leave the local battered women's shelter, they can start over with a new life. If you pre-register today and bought an adult shirt, that $12 goes straight to us. We have no overhead other than a storage unit, which is $103 a month. So I just want to tell you what, if you pre-registered and bought a shirt, that's a set of dishes for a woman. Or it's a blanket, a pillow, a pillowcase, and 2 towels and a washcloth. If you pre-registered for a child, that's $3 right to our bottom line. That's a towel, or that's a pillow and a pillowcase. You get the idea. So any amount that you give makes a difference right here in our community. So I thank you and I bless you. Thank you for being here. This walk is dedicated to two women. Betsy Bessel Hensley, who's back at the registration table. Wave, Betsy. She refuses to speak. No matter, every time I ask her, she says, I'm not talking. But luckily, I have found some other very willing and very wonderful volunteers to talk for me. Cheryl Dawson, unfortunately, can't speak because her life was taken. But I've asked her friend, Mary Miller, to talk just a moment about Cheryl. And I thank Janet Buxton for also saying something, because I want to make sure we understand, why are we here? Why do we do this every year?
And as I think about what Claudia had just shared, well, really, I don't have a whole lot else to share. You know, that I mean, again, the money that it was raised, we went and bought a T-shirt, and the money that we gave goes to help purchase supplies that go to women who are leaving the battered women's shelter. Really, that's not a lot that goes on. But again, you think about these women that are leaving their abusers. They usually walk away or escape with nothing but the clothes that they have on them. And so they spend their time at the shelter, and then they need to go off and they're done. They need to go out and start off in their own, in another apartment or whatever, but they got to start over with, well, what did they have? They don't have anything. So Heart to Heart Cincinnati, they purchase these supplies and give them to these women and families. So you heard some of that. And I encourage you to, again, I'll have links in the show notes to the official One Voice Walk website, onevoicewalk.org. But also I also encourage you to check out the Flickr group, because I did take some pictures, and you'll see some pictures of people who are speaking today and you know, on the show that I'm recording today. And there were pictures of other things. And as I've gone around Flickr and I found other domestic violence related awareness related pictures, I've asked them to submit them and to be part of the One Voice Walk pool, so you get to see them. Up next, I have Mary sharing about Cheryl Dawson.
Okay, I got my tissue. I'm ready. I wanted to, what Janet said, I thought, you know, Cheryl was humble, and she would be so amazed that you guys are here honoring her memory. Cheryl Denise Dawson was an amazing woman. She was a woman who loved God in an intense, devoted way, but in a way that you didn't necessarily notice at first. Her relationship with God was extremely important to her. She welcomed the chance to spend time with other people who also loved God, and so we were blessed with her friendship. Her children were her treasure on earth. She loved them in a way that involved the ooey-gooey kind of love and the fierce mama tiger kind of love. She would have done anything for them. She once told me that she wanted to be like me, and I was like, well, why? Why would you say that? And she said, I want to be a stay-at-home mom so I can be with my kids all the time. I wish she'd had a chance to see that dream come true. I would go over to her house on Tuesday nights after her children were in bed, and we would talk. We could just go on and on. She talked about her relationship with God, her children, her family, her work. We just enjoyed talking. And sometimes we would lose track of time. And she would be short on sleep the next day, but she didn't really care. She told me about all the things Rob had done, from bleach on a basket of clean clothes, to the brick through the window, to choking her, and to the death threats. I wish I'd known how to protect her.
It's okay, Mary.
She did everything she could through the law and by letting her friends and coworkers know what's going on. I didn't have any other advice to offer her. If I knew then what I know now, I would have told her to move away and not let Rob know where she was. I would have told her that I would rather know that she was alive and not know where she was. Than to mourn her. Since her death, I have told several other women that same thing. But there are no do-overs in domestic violence, so I didn't tell her that, and I do mourn her. But even though I mourn the fact that I don't get to talk to her anymore, and she didn't get to be a stay-at-home mom, or even see her children grow up, I rejoice in the fact that she is in heaven and knows no pain and no fear. I am grateful that her children still get to come to our church so we can get to see them grow up.
Man.
And I'm grateful for the hope of seeing her in heaven someday and getting to talk to her again.
I really hope you can appreciate everything that Mary just said. I'm just kind of floored and speechless, and I mean, I've listened to this audio clip about 10 to 20 times since I first recorded it, and it breaks me up every single time I hear it. Up next, thank you so much, Mary, for sharing that. I know it took a lot for you to get up there and share. I remember in 2005 asking you if you'd like to share something, and you weren't ready at that time, and I know it was hard for you to share that, and I definitely lift you up for that. Up next, we have Nichelle.
Good morning. My name is Nichelle Lawrence, and I have a display table of information regarding domestic violence, and I brought up here with me a book, and it's Domestic Violence in America, and it states every 3 minutes a woman is raped, but now it's every 2 to 3 minutes, and as Claudia stated, every 15 seconds a woman is battered, and every 6 hours a woman is battered to death. And I think the current statistics is that a woman is killed. Three women are killed each day in America. And that is absolutely sad. And it's an awful shame that a man who told you that he would love you and cherish you, the next moment he is pursuing you in an outrage to destroy you. My personal experience with domestic violence started over 12 years ago. And I had a person that I believed in my life to be Mr. Right. And the day before our child was born, he gave me a card that said, "I have love for you today and every day." And within 3 months, he was taking my child away from me. It's not a head thing, but it's a heart thing. And within your gut-wrenching feeling, something is wrong. Why is a man who told me that he would love me today and every day is taking my child away from me? That experience was devastating. It allowed me to experience pain and suffering. And I experienced grief. I lost 27 pounds within 5 days. And I really didn't feel that what could allow me to move on living without custody of my child. And a child is a gift from God. It is the most precious thing that you as a mother would want to love, nurture, and treasure. And that privilege was taken away from me because someone wanted to live out a mean spiritness. And so that's my personal experience with an emotional form of domestic violence. And why am I drawn to support this walk? In year 2004, I said, there needs to be a proactive energy in Cincinnati, Ohio to take a stand against domestic violence. So I went out in Eastgate Mall and I set up again a display table of domestic violence literature, passed out purple ribbons, because you don't see a lot of people wearing purple ribbons. Breast cancer has the pink ribbon, and AIDS has the red ribbon. Everybody knows about those colors, but what about the purple ribbon? And so I've been on a crusade to just do something each year to raise awareness against domestic violence. I do truly believe that it needs to stop. And I believe that men and women can practice self-control and take time out and not harm each other. And this is my second year with working with One Voice, the One Voice Walk, and the money goes to Heart to Heart as they equip battered women leaving the shelters. And I just want to keep going on and on. I believe in this type of effort, community outreach, and there needs to be more of them so that people can get on fire that we need to stop this. And I'm just on a crusade, and I always remember Cheryl Dawson in my heart and to do things to prevent a death, because it's really unnecessary and it's ridiculous.
The National Domestic Violence Hotline number is 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. Help is available to callers 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Hotline advocates are available for victims and anyone calling on their behalf to provide crisis intervention, safety planning, information, and referrals to agencies in all 50 states, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Assistance is available in English and Spanish with access to more than 140 languages through interpreter services. If you or someone you know is frightened about something in your relationship, please call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233 or via TTY at 1-800-787-3224. Okay, definitely. Thank you. Thank you so much, Nichelle, for sharing your story again. Respect you so much. And all of the women that are sharing this is, I just, you know, as you look at people throughout your day, at your job, at your, you know, as you see them as they're driving to work, as you see them in the mall, you know that that sometimes they look like they just look perfectly normal, and you might have no idea of what's really going on at home behind closed doors. I really appreciate all of these women sharing about their personal lives. And up next we have Michelle here to tell her story, and then I'm going to play a song by Beth Thornley off the PodSafe Music Network called "Done." So here's Michelle with her story. I'm sorry if I feel a little bit so. I mean, this stuff is just sobering, and hopefully it is to you. I really, again, I want to encourage you to call and leave a voicemail with your thoughts, so that I can share them with the entire audience. Please call 206-666-JIMM, 206-666-5466. And also encourage you to check out the show notes at jimmpodcast.com, again, with links and to where you can go check out the content. So without further ado, let's jump into Michelle and as you hear her share her story.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
I was at a vulnerable point in my life when I met my abuser. I was at the end of a 10-year marriage and had 3 young children. I was introduced to my former abuser in my office building and sought his help when I ultimately filed for divorce 4 months later. He was a mental health professional, and I thought he could help me sort out the issues with my children as I went through the divorce process with their father. He told me he wanted to be my friend and asked many questions. Before I knew it, I was drawn in by his charm and charisma. Little by little, I began to lose my autonomy. It was small things, like him wanting to always know where I was and acting insistent that I complete my phone call so he could have all of my attention. I thought he did these things because he loved me. His screaming, throwing things, and intimidation escalated. He removed the license plates from my car, told me I could not use the house phone because it was his, broke things to intimidate me, and removed light bulbs from the overhead lighting fixtures so I could not see. As my fear escalated, I began to sleep with my car keys in my pocket. He had successfully cut me off from my family and friends by isolating me and throwing temper tantrums to get what he wanted. During the course of our relationship, he would explain things away by giving me excuses, like he had not taken his medication, he did not feel well, it was the anniversary of his mother's death, or the anniversary of when his second wife had left him. I would listen to his explanations and believed his promise to get help. Due to the stress I was under, I began exhibiting many physical symptoms myself. I developed a rash from nerves, had insomnia, herniated a thoracic disc, had open sores on my scalp, experienced migraines, and began constantly shaking. As my life became more unmanageable, I began attending support groups to get help. As I grew stronger, he became more violent.
One evening, when I was showering in preparation to attend a support group, he forced his way into the bathroom, taking my eyeglasses and clothing, screaming, "If you go to that meeting, you are a dead woman." When I walked outside to my car, he had let the air out of my tires. I began walking in the snow as he drove in the road parallel to me, screaming. That evening, he removed my vehicle from the house, thereby taking away my ability to pick my children up from the after-school program the next day. He then forced me to ride to work with him. The violence continued and escalated to the point where he had a gun, pretending that he was shooting it at the bedroom door as I sat on the opposite side of the bed. I did not know where to turn or whom to ask for help. I was very afraid of his outbursts and tried to keep the peace. I discovered that peace at any price was really no peace at all, but a short-lived moment in time. There would be another outburst, another threat, another argument. This was an extremely difficult time for me. The physical intimidation had been minimal. It then escalated to him striking me and biting my son, an event that I am told is more dangerous than that of an animal bite. That was the last night we spent together. He begged me to come back, but now that I was not living in the chaos anymore, I could see through the facade he had erected. His outburst continued, and I ultimately had to file domestic violence charges to protect my three children and myself. I feel I was fortunate to get out with my life. I know that now. All the signs were there, I just didn't know what they were. The abuse began as verbal and emotional insults and put-downs. It became physical. At the end of our relationship, my self-esteem was non-existent. Through the guidance, love, and support of others in similar situations, I have found help. I came to understand that the shame and the blame I felt was not my fault, that his abusive nature was his responsibility. I came to believe that abuse is about power and control, and that his treatment of me was not love. I support the walk because it gives me strength and hope. I want to help others understand that it is not their fault. I want other victims to understand that I know where they're coming from because I've been there too. And I will love and support them. My name is Michelle. I am a survivor.
Touched. surprise when I finally looked around. Kid gloves and first aid kits, all the pie and next to it.
If you or someone you know is in a domestic violence situation, please call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. Or via TTY at 1-800-787-3224. Break the silence, make the phone call. Also check them out at ndvh.org. And thank you again for listening to special One Voice Domestic Violence Community Awareness Walk coverage here on the Journey Inside My Mind podcast. Please check out jimmpodcast.com for complete links and show notes. And for now, this is Dan Johnson saying make it a great day.